Well, hi there. This is the Sojourner, R.E. Fuller, coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. Tonight we're going to be talking about, in this session, about Elijah and his encounter with a lady that the Lord had said that she was to do something for him and that he was to go and see her. And it's going to be a little different message. This message, I'm not going to say hi to any particular people around the world because the Lord gave me this message for somebody or for several somebodies, but I know that this message is directly to at least one person, if not many others, who are going to be listening to this message. So our scripture is found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Now him here is Elijah. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath, to Sidon, and stay there. I have commanded a woman in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a woman was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain to the land.'" She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You know, the title of this message is "Waiting to Die?" That's a question mark after that. This is a question. Waiting to die? Are you waiting to die? You know, there are people who are waiting to die. You say, well, of course there are, because there are people who have terrible diseases and things of this sort. Those aren't necessarily the people I'm talking about. There are people who in their everyday lives are living their lives as though they are waiting to die. You know, the Lord spoke to me as surely as he spoke to Elijah to go to Zarephath to approach the widow with this message, waiting to die. He told me, many of my people see only the circumstances around them, and the circumstances seem desolate in their perception. Now, I should tell you that the word for widow in Hebrew is the same as the word for desolate. And it's interesting because he was going to Zarephath, and Zarephath means refinement. But he was going specifically to Zarephath of Sidon. In Hebrew, that would be Sidon. And that is a place of fishery, in the sense of catching fish. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus talked to the disciples about being fishers of men? And when we learn to be fishers of men, and when we learn to live in God's kingdom, we must be refined to do that, because it is so foreign to our natural nature in our life as it is. So here we are. This woman is basically waiting to die. She feels desolate. She is discouraged. Many people that I encounter today are that same way. So their circumstances seem desolate in their perception, just as they did in this widow's perception. They're not even looking my way, but have fallen into deception. This is what the Lord said to me. They have not even looked my way, but have fallen into the deception of Satan. That is, to what they are not, you see, as to what they are not, and what they cannot possibly do, and that they cannot thrive. People are convinced of this, and this is a lie straight from Satan. And this is what the Lord was saying to me, as he said, this is what I want you to tell the people. Now, and he said, tell them that this believing on their part of Satan's lie has frozen their life. I encounter people all the time that are in a frozen life. It seems like there are never any changes in their life. Life is just one humdrum day after another. They just do the same things, but it's just frozen in time, as though they just cannot seem to escape this frozen state of desolation, this state of hopelessness that they have fallen into. Oh, they smile and they talk, but inside, in their heart of hearts, they've lost confidence in their life. They've lost the ability to think that they can do anything. And the Lord went on to say to me, they have lost, or they have little or no joy, and are seeking whatever happiness that may be found for their life. They have ignored or misapplied my word, and as a result, feel troubled, depressed, and in despair. I run into people all the time that try to find some way to bring a little happiness into their life. Now remember, this is a very important thing, that the joy of the Lord is the strength of the believer. And happiness comes from the word happening, which means something has to happen for you to be happy. But you can be happy and still have no joy. You can be happy at an event. You can be happy at something happening, but still have no joy. You could have somebody knock on your door and say, I have here $1 million for you. And you would be happy, but you still might have no joy. I'm talking to somebody right now. You're listening to me, and you know that you have been waiting to die. Your life has just fallen into a rut. You know, somebody heard somebody say one time that a rut was just a grave with the ends kicked out. Just a grave with the ends kicked out. I cannot tell you how many people that I encounter who have no joy in their life, and they claim that Christ is their Lord and their Savior, and they have no joy. Well, without the joy of the Lord, you are meat. You are just meat. You will just be chewed up by Satan. You'll be chewed up by the world. You'll be chewed up by your own flesh. You'll be chewed up by all the things that are contrary to God's way of doing things, because you have no joy. But you may go through your life in this despair, looking for some happening to bring happiness to you, when it's the Lord who brings joy to you. But you must focus on the Lord. Remember what he said to me, they're not even looking my way, the Lord said to me, but have fallen into the deception of Satan as to what they are not and what they cannot possibly do, or that they cannot thrive. He said, this believing on their part of Satan's lie has frozen their lives. They have little or no joy and are seeking whatever happiness that may be found for their life. They have ignored or misapplied my word. My friends, we cannot ignore or misapply God's words. So let's look at the widow again. Look at the widow in our scripture. God has given her an instruction to give food to Elijah. How strange this must have seemed to this widow. How strange indeed. She must have thought, how can I possibly give anyone something to eat? I'm sure she rehearsed to herself when she heard this, because remember, our scripture says that she had been already told by God to give this, to do this for Elijah. How many times she must have said, Lord, can't you see my circumstances? Lord, can't you see the reality of my life? Lord, can't you see what I cannot do? I don't have it, Lord. I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think the Lord need to be convinced of what she did or she did not have? And if out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, then what do you think that she was, who would you think was being convinced on what she could not do and what she did not have? She was speaking her own curse on her own life by saying, I don't have it. I don't have it. I can't do it. Look at this. Don't you understand, God? Can you imagine people actually say to God, don't you understand my circumstances, God? My friends, God understands our circumstances much better than do we. He does. And she would say, there's only enough for myself and my son for one meal. Now look at her response to Elijah. Look what she said to Elijah. See, she believes in the Lord. She says, surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful. Now notice she said, I don't have any. And then she says how much she has. Now think about this for a minute. People live their lives this way. They talk about what they don't have and then go do with what they have. Because they do have something. But in their heart, they feel like they have nothing. She says, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Notice she is totally focused on herself and her son. Even after getting instructions from God, she's explaining to God, I can't possibly do what you've told me to do because I only have what is for me and mine. Think about that. Believing that you have nothing or are nothing will kill you. Let me say it again. Believing that you have nothing or are nothing will kill you. You will spend the rest of your days just waiting to die. You will be miserable. You will be full of defeat. You'll have a hard time coming up with a smile on your face. And if you have a smile on your face, you'll be just faking it. You'll just be pretending to be something you're not. As a matter of fact, you'll be a hypocrite. Because you're to have the joy of the Lord if you're a believer in the Lord. You're to have the joy of the Lord. Look here. Remember what I said? Believing that you have nothing or are nothing will kill you. John 10:10. Jesus is speaking. These are the words in red. I even put them in the bulletin in red so you couldn't miss that this is Jesus speaking. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, let me tell you, King James says, and have life and have it more abundantly. Do you have life to the full? So, are you telling God that He's a liar in your life? That you're somehow different than everybody else? Maybe everyone else gets all the blessings, but you don't get the blessings because boo-hoo, poor you, and you're just waiting to die. Maybe you've been waiting to die and you didn't even know you were waiting to die. Many people are just waiting to die and don't know it. They live their lives like they're waiting to die, but they don't know they're waiting to die. They just know that just one day after another is just one miserable drudgery that they have to go through, not realizing that they have something. They have life. They have breath. You have life. You have breath. I have life. I have breath. And with that, we were saved for a purpose. And if you aren't saved by Christ, if you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you can be saved for a purpose. Because believe me, God has a purpose for you. He knew who you were when you were being developed in your mother's womb. And He had plans for you. And let me ask you a question then. Have you said, oh, I don't care what plans God had for me. I'm enjoying my misery because I've built such a miserable life. I'm always amazed at the people who will hang on to their miserable life because it's theirs and they created it. Don't try to take my misery away from me. It's mine. Think about that. How sad that is. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Not someday, but now. And have it to the full. If you or someone you know feels they are nothing or they have nothing, remind yourself anyone in God's kingdom is not desolate or destitute. You cannot be in the kingdom of the blessing and be in desolation and be destitute. You can't be. You see, you're not without value. Jesus came that you may have a full, abundant life. Not a miserable, sick, poverty-filled, sorry-for-yourself existence. He came with a purpose. He came with hope. He came with deliverance. Oh, my friends, we can't live this waiting to die kind of life. The widow has been commanded. She's been commanded. She's been told, this is what you're going to do. To give what she felt she did not have, but God knew what she had better than she did. You think you're an expert on your life? Let me tell you, there are none of us an expert on our lives. And we'll never be an expert on our lives until our lives are in tune with God's plan for our lives. If you know God's plan for your life, if you know what He wants you to do next, you're an expert on your life. Because the only expert on your life that exists is God Himself. The only expert on my life that exists is God Himself. So the widow had been commanded to give what she felt she did not have, but God knew what she had better than she did. Her eyes were on her perceived circumstances. Let me tell you something. Your circumstances, whatever they are only your perception of your circumstances. Because Jesus came that you would have life and have it to the full. Have it more abundantly. Kingdom faith requires we do something by faith to access the things of the kingdom. We have to do something. We can't just sit there and wait to die. We can't just say, well, I'm a Christian now. I'll just sit here and wait to die. And one day, in the sweet by and by, glory be, one glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. You see? We can't be thinking like that. Because we're here not to wait for that one glad morning. We're here to do something. We were saved to service. All believers are saved to service. When a person accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, they do it by faith. If you've accepted Christ, didn't you do that by faith? I did it by faith. So we must live our lives by faith. All must do it by faith. Faith is putting God's word and promises into action. That's what faith is. Otherwise, it's just belief. It's belief, but when you put it into action, it becomes faith. Without action, there is no faith. It takes action. Now, if a person is doing what I call active waiting, you say, well, wait a minute, I'm just waiting for God to tell me what to do. I'm just waiting for... How many people have you ever met? They're just waiting for God to speak to them and tell them what to do. Well, there's a thing I call active waiting. They're waiting for a manifestation of God's promise to them, but they are waiting actively, because they are not doing nothing, but are doing what is expected of all believers in the general while they are waiting for a specific instruction or thing. You see, there's no such thing as just sitting there waiting. Unless God has specifically said to you, go someplace and sit and wait. Now, Jesus told the disciples to wait for Him in Jerusalem. Just to wait. He didn't tell them to do a thing but wait. So what did they do? They elected somebody to take Judas's place. Did you ever hear of him again? But gee, from my point of view, God chose a man named Saul of Tarsus. Did you ever hear of him? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You see, even they couldn't wait. Remember, even in the Garden of Eden, he came and they were asleep. And he said, could you even wait with me 1 hour? Not waiting on God is rebellion. And believing that you have nothing is rebellion. Because you have the whole kingdom of God. You have the kingdom of the blessing, and you live in the kingdom of the blessing. You are blessed. Do you find that people around you don't feel like they want to be Christians? Well, why would they? If you're just waiting to die, they're trying to figure out some way to avoid death because they don't have Jesus. And you're going, oh, well, one glad morning, I'll fly away. And they're going, oh, I hope my glad morning never shows up because it'll be my bad morning when I fly away. Ask them. You ask many people. You say, where would you go if you died today, where would you go? And many people who are not Christians will tell you, well, I guess I'd go to hell. That's what they'll tell you. So that's one bad morning for them. Our job is to see to it they have one glad morning. Are you waiting to die? How long have you been waiting to die? How long do you want to wait to die? Let me ask you this question. If you didn't want to wait to die anymore, if you wanted to live, when would you want to start living? Next month? Next year? 5 years from now? Or would you want to start right now? When would you want to start enjoying the kingdom that God has placed you in when you accepted Christ? Maybe you enjoy living in that kingdom of destitute desperation, waiting to die. I can't imagine why anybody could enjoy that or why anybody could ever really and truly feel comfortable with it. You see, kingdom faith has substance, my friends. It has substance. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let me tell you, the widow of Zarephath saw the substance of what she hoped for, and she saw the evidence of what she could not see. We must do the same. We cannot sit around waiting to die. Because to sit around waiting to die is to sit in rebellion to God. No Christian can sit around waiting to die. That's rebellion. Living your life your way is called rebellion in the kingdom. Living your life, you're not your own, you were bought with a price. And that price is the sort of thing that when Jesus said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, what did he mean with that? I'll tell you what he meant with that. He meant that there was so much power and so much life and so much joy in you that people were compelled to come into the kingdom. I know people who say, well, I don't go around sinning, and I'm pretty good and everything, and I just hope someday people will see Jesus in me. Listen, I know really nice people who have never accepted Christ who live that way. How would they know it was Jesus? Are you just sitting around waiting to die? Or do you desire to live? Do you desire to live the life you were saved to live? And if you desire to live the life you were saved to live, then you need to talk to God right now. And you need to say, hey, you know, I kind of missed the mark on this. And I'm sorry for that. I want to live the life you have for me. We must understand faith in God and His kingdom has substance. You're alive. If you're listening to this, I've got news for you. You're alive. Seriously, you're alive. You're not dead. You're not even dying. Hey, you say, oh, yes, I am. Well, let me tell you, I've been dying ever since the day I was born. Every day I have lived, I've been one day closer to death. But you see, I was raised in baptism from death to life in Christ Jesus. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not waiting to die. I'm just going to keep on living. Now, I may transfer where I'm living, but I'm living now and I'll be living then. Because death has been defeated in anybody's life who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is no death. Oh, the body, yeah. But the body's not us. It's just like an out-of-date car. You know? One day, you just got so many miles on you, but you don't even have to get sick to die. You don't have to get sick to die. You know, we've got to rethink some things. Don't wait to die. Live to live. Believe to live. What kind of example are you setting for your relatives and your friends and your coworkers, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? I mentioned great-grandchildren because let me tell you, if you're 85, I'm talking to you. Does your heart still beat? Are you still alive? If you're alive, act like it. Live your life. You're supposed to live to at least 120 anyhow. If you think it's only supposed to be 70, you need to reread the scriptures. Every doctor I've talked to about how long people should live said somewhere between 120 and 150 years people ought to be able to live. Waiting to die, huh? That's the question I ask at the beginning of this message. Waiting to die? Huh? Are you? Well, if you are, repent. Repent now. Because you know what? You just might die. I suggest repenting before you die. Because the scripture tells me that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to be in the side, in the line that has already accepted him, not the one that had to bow and say that he is Lord, but it's too late. No. Live to live and live the life he meant for you to have. If you've never accepted Christ, believe me, now's the time to do it. And if you have accepted Christ, and you've been waiting to die, if you've never accepted him, or you have, you need to pray this prayer with me right now. If you've been waiting to die, you need to pray the prayer. Heavenly Father, pray this with me right now. Heavenly Father, I come to your throne boldly because your word says I can. And I tell you, I'm sorry where I've missed the mark. And if I've never been here before, Lord, I'm here now. And if I have been before, Lord, I'm here now. I'm yours. My life is yours. Everything about me is yours. I'm going to live my life until you call me home. But because of Jesus, I'm never going to die. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I accept Jesus as my Lord, as well as my Savior right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, hey, you're alive. You're alive. You don't have to wait to die anymore because you're alive. Now, if you need some help with this, you feel free to contact me. My email is thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Now, I know you're going to have to think for a second. How do you spell sojourner? It's S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R. That's thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Obviously, then, my website, or our website, must be sojournershub.org. You can go there and you can hear more messages. You can listen to this one over again because it will be posted. And you can listen to this one over again and you can listen to years worth of them. It won't cost you a dime. And the Lord has provided those messages and you can listen to them there. Now, if you need to talk to me, you can call me in the United States, you can call me at 800-391-6944. And by the way, if you can't remember how to spell sojourner, or if I spelled it too fast for you, you can just Google 800-391-6944. And guess what? It's going to get you to our site. Now, if you're on Skype, any place in the world, you can call me on Skype on your computer. That's the Sojourner 3734 on Skype. Well, my friends, that brings this message to an end. And I know this message was for somebody because the Lord gave it to me for somebody. So I'm going to give you this blessing, and that will conclude this broadcast. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.